This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled.
Welcome to Reinvention Radio.
Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. How we doing, everybody? Got Richard Shane here. What's up, baby, baby?
Hey,
hey. Hey, White Wade sitting in now. And Mary Rollade decided to take a little vacay, or at least that's what she said. And we believe her because we love Mary
Rollade. I'm trying to understand the logic. It has been pretty hot here in San Diego.
And so she went to Vegas.
She went to Vegas.
Yeah. And by the way, I believe that the pilot said when we landed in Phoenix, where it was like 110 degrees Fahrenheit for all of our U.S. folk, because evidently no one else in the world uses Fahrenheit except for us. Phoenix is the surface of the sun. So yes. if Phoenix is the surface of the sun, then I wonder what Vegas is. But speaking of things that are hot, we got Odette Laurie on joining us, and that'll be good quality funny. And actually, I think Odette's on the line. So let's bring her in. Odette, are you there?
I am.
You are. Hey, how are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm fabulous. I am actually in Detroit, but I come from Toronto, and Detroit scares us. So anyway, all good.
Well, Detroit is in a revolution there, a real estate and economic revolution. I think if you've got money, that would be a great place to invest. As a matter of fact, I think the guy who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers, that Dan Gilbert guy, the guy who does Quicken and all that, I think he bought like 80 downtown office buildings in Detroit. So there you have it, Odette. So if you're sitting on an extra $600 or $700 million somewhere, start buying while you're there.
Well, I think you can buy a house for about $500 or $600.
I'd say well, there you go. So buy a few thousand of those and could end up being a really, really good day. And so I think that actually speaks well to kind of what we're going to be talking about here today, which is reinventing your BS or your belief system or your bullshit, depending on who you're talking to. But why don't you give people a little bit of an understanding of who you are and what your story is, because it's pretty interesting background.
Yeah. So I'm approaching 50, which is an interesting story in itself. But my first business was back in 93 when I was about 27. And Canada, so being Canadian, we were going through our worst economic crisis. And just like you guys had in the States, I guess, or still are, but you know, several years ago. And I had this brilliant idea to sell a service to the real estate market. And you can imagine, no one said that it was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I just went kind of like a dog with a bone. And I went, no, I'm really on to something here. And within under 5 years, we were making well over seven figures. And that business is still in existence 23 years later, which is a testament to starting a business and really building a solid foundation. I had no capital. I had no idea what I was doing. But I hired people who knew what they were doing and proved that you can start a business, any type of business, in any type of environment,
mm-hmm.
which I sold 5 years or 10 years after that.
Wait. So hold on,
know what
back
business
up.
Is because it's a little crazy.
Yeah. I'm just curious. What was the business that you were doing for the real estate folk?
I measured space. I went into my first clients were residential real estate agents who had homes that they had listed. And real estate agents were the first people that were losing their shirts left, right, and center. So I would go into the home, and I would measure the home. And the home, so to produce floor plans, computerized floor plans, for marketing feature sheets, for square footage, for room dimensions.
Mm.
So something very unsexy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at the same token,
very lucrative.
I was going to say, but at the same token, it was very needed and did quite well. I would think at some point, people kind of scratch their head and go, well, didn't that exist? But are you saying that at that point it didn't exist?
Well, it did not from what I could find, because back then we didn't have the internet. About 3 or 4 years into the business, we did stumble across a sort of a mom and pop that had franchised out, and they trademarked our name and wanted $5,000 for it. That's how I found out we had competition.
Hmm.
So just kind of used that to my advantage and blew them out of the water. From that point, we expanded into commercial, industrial, property management, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So you ran that from about 93 to about 2006, if you sold it 10 years ago, somewhere in there, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and so for the last 10 years, what have you been what have you been doing?
Well, for about 5 years, I stumbled. I didn't just couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. Newly divorced, single mom of two little kids. I went back to college. Really found myself in a place of lostville,
mm-hmm.
and you know, got into a relationship for the wrong reasons, and it was just one bad decision after another. And it was in that those bad decisions that it was one of those moments I went, you know what, I got to go back and being an entrepreneur. I have literally been fired from almost every job I've ever had, mm-hmm. and decided, what do I know? What can I do? And decided that I know how to build a business. I know how to take an idea and make it into a seven-figure business. Why not teach entrepreneurs, especially women, to start a business, to grow a business, to really be successful? And for the last 6-7 years now, 2009, I've been a business coach in the Toronto area, but having clients all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And so specifically, based on your URL, Business Women on Top, obviously you work with women, but do you also work with men? And if so, what do you find the biggest difference to be between the way men run businesses and the way women run businesses?
That's a good question. Primarily, when I first started, it was all around working with women. And I do enjoy working with men. I have men clients. The biggest difference is around sales and the fear around sales. I find that the majority of women, unless you're sort of a kick-ass woman, there's that fear around asking for the money, charging what you're worth. Whereas a guy, you know, right off the hop, first thing he does is he hires someone to do all the administrative stuff, charges what they're worth, and goes out and just sells like crazy. Whereas, and this is total generalization, because I'm sure there's some guys that don't, mm-hmm. but that's the biggest difference that I find.
Mm-hmm. And so do you, at this point, I mean, do you believe that you can, is it a mistake to do something that you love doing? Do you think it's possible for most people to turn something that they love doing into a business?
100%. You know, a lot of people say to me, you took an idea of measuring space, and it was really literally just an idea that popped into my head one day around why don't people have floor plans for, you know, resale. And, you know, that's not something I can say. I was really passionate. I loved doing that. But I loved being in business for myself, and I loved making money. And I think it's easier that when you have an art, a passion, or a skill that you love to do, that you can make money from it, because that's really what sells, is the confidence piece. The problem with most entrepreneurs who start from that place of passion is they don't know how to be a business owner. So they have to go out and get trained to be a business owner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, what I have found is that there are a lot of people who are, you know, really good at doing something kind of like from a hobby standpoint, you know, like Rich, like you grow tomatoes, man. I mean, like you grow like awesome tomatoes. Your tomatoes are probably some of the tastiest tomatoes that I've ever had, unlike Wade's. But, you know, I will say that you probably shouldn't, though, go into the business of actually being like a tomato farmer. I mean, I think that's just kind of a stretch. Are you still thinking about that, Rich?
No.
No? You gave up on that idea long ago.
Hot peppers now.
Yeah. Now we're on hot peppers. That actually makes sense. I could see you doing hot peppers, man, and ghost peppers more specifically. But let me ask you this. So, Odette, if there are people who have kind of like that hobby, how do you know whether or not you can turn that hobby into a business? Because I think it's, I mean, there's obviously two very, very different sides of the equation there.
Well, I think that first thing you need to do is you need to hire someone. You need to work with someone who has what you want, who is where you want to be, who has the skill set. So, for instance, in building a business, go and hire a business coach and get really clear on, you know, what is your product? What is your service? Is there anybody else doing it? So do a lot of research on the competition. If there's nobody doing it, there might be a reason why nobody is doing it. Doesn't mean it's that you can't do it. But really get clear on what skill set do you bring to the table, who do you need to bring on that can enhance the business, enhance the product and service, so that you can take it to market. But some stuff really I don't believe is 100% marketable, but there might be a slight tweak or variation of. So you talked about selling tomatoes. Well, someone's selling tomatoes out there. So someone's making a whole lot of money on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's not tomato farming, you know, at that level, but what about, there's a lot of gourmet things now. You know, they charge $7, $10 for stuff at the grocery store. And it's the same cookie, same bag of nuts. They're just marketing it differently. So what can you tweak to make it marketable?
Mm-hmm. And do you find that most folks don't understand the difference between running a business and actually running a profitable business?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, what would you say is the biggest difference between the two, and what should people be thinking about?
Well, running a business, I mean, there's a million moving parts in running a business, and there's the profit side of it is about how to make money. So it's about you know, the pricing. It's about the packaging. It's about the marketing. It's about the reach. It's really about getting out of your own way, the mindset piece. I mean, if I take a look at the majority of, you know, people that I, you know, my audiences, my clients, my ex-clients, prospects, the thing that stops people is what's going on between your ears. It's 100% of a mind game. And if your mind isn't strong, or there's a problem, or there's a, like, you know, a limiting belief, you got to get that fixed, because that's the difference between just running a business and losing money, which is what most people do, breaking even, and running and making a profit.
Yeah, no, the point is really, really well taken. Now, where, so right now you're obviously working with folks. You're based in Canada, but you work with folks, I mean, pretty much all over. That's the beauty of being in this connected world that that we have. But is there an example or two of, and actually, I just realized we only got about 30 seconds here before we got to kick to break, but is there an example of someone who you're working with right now who's really doing some amazing things that you've been able to help?
Absolutely. Well, I actually love working with coaches, because I believe coaches, whether it be life or business or doesn't matter, have the opportunity to create an impact and a ripple effect for their clients who are out there doing bigger and better things, or want to do bigger and better things.
Yeah, well, let's do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio, and we'll be back with Odette Laurie shortly here. But for right now, we'll take a quick break here and be back with Rich Ote, White Wade, and Odette Laurie. I'm Steve Olger on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olger, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olger.
And I'm Wade Taylor, as Steve Olger is juggling a range of things here. Thank you, Rich. I'm joined by Rich Ote as well, providing the sound effects. And we are here talking with our guest today, Odette. And Odette, you know, as you look at the entire expanse of the marketplace here, you're in Canada, we've got North America, it seems like to me that it's a one unified market. And are you seeing that there's plenty of opportunity across the board?
I do. You know, if I, like, so being Canadian, we have, you know, it's a very, we're a large country with not a whole lot of people in it. And the people that are in it, they come to Canada for many reasons, and one of them is to start a new life, to start businesses. The majority of our entrepreneurial gigs that are out there are run, you know, by the immigrants, and they come to Canada for that reason. And I always say to my clients who are, you know, moaning and groaning about something, it's like, God, if you can't start a business here or run a business here, where can you start one, or where can you be successful? And I really think that it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, and this is international business, so it's kind of like borders are irrelevant, aren't they?
Well, they are, and hopefully they stay that way with, you know, whatever's going on with you guys down there. We may have a big wall around Canada, or right, around you guys, which we're building.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting, I assume, out of ice bricks.
Yeah.
So that'll definitely be interesting. And so, being it is an international market now, what are the universalities that you recognize that you can address, you know, being that it is, you know, borderless, it is international?
So what? Well, there's a common thread. It doesn't matter where you come from. The common thread is in businesses really about mindset, marketing, and money. And when I take a look at, you know, the way people are thinking, really, thoughts become things. Your belief system, a.k.a. your bullshit, is what is getting in the way. So it doesn't matter what country you come from. It's quite fascinating how we all have the same story, the same fears, the same excuses, and the same reasons why we can't do something.
Yeah, people
as
are
well,
people.
People are people. And I, you know, to be honest with you, my first business, there was no internet. And it was a real shock to start my second business with this global expansion. I'm like, God, I have the whole world at my fingertips. But I also have that many more business coaches as the competition.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. But this is your opportunity to stand out and explain it from your unique perspective. You know, because, you know, I'm kind of going wide and going narrow because it's a universal market. It's a worldwide market. It's an international market. And that allows you to see the commonalities, you know, the universal needs. So you can kind of hone in on those. But then it's your unique perspective on those that makes you stand out from the competition. And that's kind of why I'm trying to understand more clearly here, is how you recognize that universality, recognize the BS factor that's across the board, but found a unique way of explaining how to deal with that.
Sorry, the question is
talking more about your unique way of, you know, recognizing that and supporting, you know, assisting.
Well, the interesting thing is around is your story and about being opinionated. And I'm told that, you know, I can be quite opinionated. So I decided, you know, to take a look at what are the biggest things that are going on for people. And I, you know, wrote a guide called the How Big Is Your Butt? 7 Ways You're Sabotaging Your Own Success.
Right, right.
And they're all universal. And here are quickly the 7 are that we compare our success to those and find ourselves lacking. In the universal market, that's even worse because now I'm comparing myself to someone in Australia who, you know, I would never have otherwise met. We dwell on our past failures. Everybody does that. They took a look at where they screwed up and go, well, I can't do that. I can't possibly do this again. That's actually where you can do it because your failure is actually the answer to the question of, what do I do next? What don't you do next? Number 3 is we just don't think that we're good enough. And this is very much a universal female problem. I have 2 teenage daughters, and they just reek of the, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not enough, I'm not doing enough. And I hear that so often. And if we can just get over the enough and just do what you're good at, everything will change for people. The 4th one is no judgment. We're just so afraid of judgment. And so therefore we don't speak up. We don't express our opinion. And I love being, you know, coined or phrased that, oh, that's an opinionated person because I have something to say, and so does everybody else on this planet. We're just too afraid to share it. The 5th one is we think we lack the skills, so we don't even bother trying. We just make a bunch of excuses. Number 6 is women especially have such a hard time making a decision because, God forbid, they get it wrong. But I'm all about get it wrong because then you're just going to get it right that much quicker. And number 7 is just resistant to change. Mm. And you can't be resistant to change in this world. The internet, the media, the world changes, what, hourly. And it's hard to stay on track with all that, so it's about managing your expectations to stay on track with, just be okay with change.
Now, it sounds like a couple of those, you know, are tied together, being afraid and also what does everybody think about me? And you kind of have to recognize you got to chart your own course with that. And I see a connection there with the decision making, because once you can go inside to make the decision, you know, and not worry about others' opinions and you're simply looking at what is right for me, but then you do have to own that decision and recognize you're going to make some bad decisions because sometimes there isn't a good option. You've got 4 bad decisions. Pick one of them and own it. So it seems like all of this comes from or ties together with developing a certain amount of confidence.
Absolutely. The 2 biggest fears are the fear of rejection and the fear of criticism. And when we can get over that, when we cannot give a shit what people think about us and what they say about us, and just own 100% who you are, it's the authenticity of who you are that is that makes you so unique, but that makes you so special that there's people out there that want you. And there are people out there that don't want you, and that's okay.
Mm. Hey, Odette, it's Steve. Sorry about that. And so... really do appreciate the insight and the. I was going to ask you about those seven factors that are sabotaging your own success. So thanks for bringing those up. Let me ask you this: Do you really think that women in general, though, are able to step away from judgment and able to step away from, and really just being free enough to be themselves? I mean, I think that most women, especially, I think men deep down feel it, but women more on the surface really do show it. Where it's so hard to tap into who that, shall we say, perfect self is and being willing to be that person. Do you find that most women are pretty pretty tough on themselves? And, I mean, it's almost impossible for them to really do that, I think, unless they're surrounded by others who are doing it as well. So I guess how important is it to be surrounded by other women who are already doing that?
Percentage-wise, it's probably a fraction of a percent that women actually say, you know what, I don't really give a shit what anybody thinks, and I'm just going to go be me, and I'm just going to go do what I need to do. Because the stigma is, well, then she's a bitch. She's assertive. She shouldn't be like that. That, you know, we are nurtured and brought up, and look at the TV shows that are out there, is we're meant to be nurturing and loving and kind and people-pleasing and all of those things. And when a woman steps outside of one of those realms, there's an automatic fear factor of, wow, she must be like super confident. And, you know, when a guy does the same thing, it's not the same connotation. It's not the same dialogue that goes back and forth. That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, there is always going to be that double standard. I mean, just watch Game of Thrones enough and you'll see it. And actually just started watching it. Have you seen Game of Thrones, Rich? Do you watch that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't watch it all the time, but
no. Do you watch it, Wade? By the way, have you seen it?
I saw like the first three seasons.
Oh yeah, yeah. Odette, do you watch it or no?
I do not.
Yeah, you know it's interesting because I think that where we are right now is, I mean, we're just kind of right back in those days of as much as we want to think that men and women don't have their respective roles and men and women can play, you know, their own version of those roles. I still think that no matter what we do, I mean, men and women are kind of going to be relegated to the specific roles, kind of like Game of Thrones. I mean, you look at the way the men are in that show and you look at the way the women are in that show. And as much as we kind of want to circle around that and dance like it doesn't exist, historically, I mean, I just think it's kind of in the DNA. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I absolutely agree with you. The problem is when it stops us from doing what it is that we want to do, when it stops us from going out there and changing the world, it stops us from making the money that we know we can make. That's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, no, this is really good stuff. So let's do this. We're going to have to take another break here on Reinvention Radios. We're talking to Odette Laurie. And so, you know, I got to tell you, it's like when you look at sort of the BS, if you will, that we all kind of bring to the table, it's hard to shake it, you know, no matter how hard you try. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, and maybe the best thing to do here is just kind of have that, maybe we'll have a nature versus nurture conversation, see if we can really break through some of that BS that so many of us bring to our current relationships and bring to our business. But I don't know. I'll be real curious to get Odette's take on that, and so we are working out our BS here on Reinvention Radio and talking to Odette Laurie, and we will take a quick break here and we'll be right back with more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Hanging out with Rich Ote, Wide Wade, and Mary Goulet is in Vegas. And hopefully she's betting on 33 black and 23 red, because those are really the only two numbers to ever bet on. That's what I would say. Alright, we're talking to Odette Laurie here. Odette, actually, you had a pretty interesting... shall we say, you had some interesting trauma in your life. I mean, you actually had a pretty tough year, not terribly long ago. Tell people about that, and then how exactly did you work your way through it, and how do you think that affects your work today?
Oh, yeah. It was, I started my business full-time in August of 2010, and within 30 days, so I had a blended family relationship with five kids, and that came to a screeching halt. And what, you know, it's just starting a business. I'm like, holy crap, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And once the dust settled, I had a plan, I had a strategy. My mom fell, broke her hip, and my dad fell, broke his hip a few months later. And within 2 months of each other, they both passed away.
Oh, geez.
So it was a rough year. The icing on the cake was one morning I went to bed feeling kind of crappy. I woke up the next morning, and I just had no feeling or movement in my arms and in my hands. And I had developed an acute paralysis from the stress, I later found out, that literally rendered me paralyzed in my arms for about a year and a half. And in that year and a half, you know, I moved to another city with my girls, you know, still ran the business. And it within that first year, you know, had hit the six-figure mark. And I look back and I go, how did that ever happen? And it was really besides from support of my coach and a few key friends, it was just sheer determination. There was no way in hell I was going back to get a job, because I didn't think anyone would hire me. I've been fired so many times. It was just, I got to do this. It's do or die, persistence, determination. And I have a sort of philosophy of figure it out until you get what you want. And I did that and just persevered. And I did put my business before any other sort of personal besides my kids, and now I'm at that point 5 years later where I'm like, okay, I'm slowing the boat down. I am now going to have a bit of that balance of life and business. But when people come to me and say, well, I can't do it, my God, my mom's sick, or my husband's this or that, I'm like, I gotcha, I get it, I've been there, and it all slammed at me at the same time, and it's possible to still create the business and do what you want with your life.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think people, how do you think they know, or how can you help them? Are there some signs or something that you can help folks figure out if, in fact, I mean, they're really stuck in their, you know, in their own BS?
You really have to get clear on what it is that you want. And an exercise that I run most of my clients through is I have them, like, it's like a visualization exercise, and I take them to the end of life. So the average life expectancy in Canada and probably U.S. is around 80. And I say, okay, when you're 80, where are you physically? What are you seeing, smelling, touching? Who's with you? Who is not with you? What environment have you created for yourself when you're 80, and how are you feeling? Where's that conversation? And then, so I reverse engineer everything. I need to go to the end in mind and start to backpedal with to where you are today. And it's like, well, how do you want to spend your entire life? Do you want to constantly do the waiting game? Successful, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is really this one thing. Unsuccessful people always say, I'm going to wait. When I get this, when I have that, when I am here. A successful person says, well, I'm just doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the problem is that we don't know when we're going to die. We all think that we're going to die when we're 80. I can die in a week from now. So why not start creating my legacy and my impact today so that if I just squeak out another week, I've at least changed one or two lives, that the plan is to have that legacy continue after I'm dead, that I've changed a life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wait, you don't change lives.
So how can people tell, though, if they're stuck or if they're not, in fact, living to that fullest potential?
They know deep down inside. It's if there's chaos or if there's confusion, if there is a I don't know going on in their head, then they know that they're just not getting clear. That the first thing is, I got to get clear. But therein lies the problem, Steve, is that a lot of people like to hide behind their BS because it's safe, it's comfortable. You need to get uncomfortable and you need to explore and say, well, I'm not happy. I'm not living the life that I really want. I need help to find out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Which requires both time and financial investments for the most part.
Hmm. And so do you still currently have a coach? Because obviously you coach people, but how important do you think it is for a coach to have a coach?
Oh, absolutely. Very incongruent message when a coach says, I don't have a coach. So I have a coach. I have a couple of coaches. I have always had a coach, and I will continue to have one because I don't know everything. And there's always something that you can learn from someone. And it's about that investment as well. You need to experience what your clients are experiencing when you ask them for money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how can you tell when you're in the zone? Like, what does that feel like to you when you're in that right place?
There's an alignment between head, heart, and feet. And when there's an alignment between head, heart, and feet, and you feel really great, you come from that place of gratitude, love, and joy, that when a bomb goes off in your life, it doesn't rock your world to your core. You can at least have a little bit of stable footing. There's an ease and a flow. For most of my life, I used to push, and I realized that pushing it's exhausting. That it's about attraction. It's about flow instead of just like hard pushing, and that's what I used to do. It's what a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if you had one bit of advice for an entrepreneur who was doing six figures right now and they wanted to take their business to seven figures, what bit of advice would you give them?
Well, number one, what got you to where you are today will not get you to where you want to go tomorrow. So you need to take a look at what are you doing, what's working, what's not working, and what do you need to do to fix it. And if you're working alone and that you don't have a mentor or a coach or a guide, then you need to get one. And if you do have one and they're working for you, then you just need to say to them, look, this is where I'm at, but we need to, I want to get there faster. I want to, really be crystal clear on what your ultimate vision and your goal is. And it doesn't always have to be necessarily within your lifetime. Have a big, hairy, audacious goal that you may not even see its fruition in your lifetime, and then you scale it back to something smaller, like a seven-figure business. And nowadays, really can be relatively simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And if people want more information about you and to grab, I know you've got a, I believe it's How Big Is Your Butt, right? Is that book or ebook or newsletter, et cetera, that you've got? And so people want to grab a copy of that and find out more information about you and what you are up to, where's the best place for them to go?
Businesswomenontop.com. Make sure you put the word business in front of it. So it's businesswomenplural.com. And right there you can grab my IFO, which is How Big Is Your Butt.
Yeah.
I am an author. I've got a couple of books. And also, if you want to reach out and have a conversation, support@businesswomenontop.com, and we're happy to help you.
All right. Sounds really good. And, of course, we are probably going to go check out what happens at womenontop.com now that you've planted that. But go to businesswomenontop.com. Odette.com if you want more information about Odette and all of the amazing things that she is up to. So, gentlemen, what do you think there, boys? Okay, what's going on there, Wade? What are you thinking?
Universal truths.
Yeah, man, a lot of universal truths there for sure, and I can see how a lot of that would make a pretty big difference. You, Richie, what are you thinking over there, brother? Thank you. Okay. Well, you got your sound machine. There's nothing. What do you got? Sound wise, nothing. Okay. You came well. Oh, cash register. Yay, young. Okay, counting the dough. All right, you guys. Well, really do appreciate you tuning in today for our episode here with Odette Laurie. And for those who've been rating and subscribing and reviewing the podcast, really do appreciate you. We will talk to you next time on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.